Welcome to the Relationship Manifesto podcast series.
Welcome to the Relationship Manifesto podcast series. We're here again. My name is Chris
again.
Smith.
We're here again.
My name is Chris Smith, Shambles Guru on the interweb.
And then, you can tell we're both from England.
We're both from England. I'm here again. Oh, is that an English accent?
Yeah.
And I'm here with Dr. Stephen Whitehead again. Again.
Again.
And again and again. Right. We're going to go back to a topic that we touched on earlier, where we were going through people's lives decade by decade and looking at relationship aspects in each of those decades. And the last one was the 30s. So this one, we're going to look at relationships in, if you're 40 years up to 49, then this is going to be relevant to you. Was it called the Roaring 40s? What are you going to call this, Stephen? or is it the Sodden 40s?
Well, I thought about that, and I think two aspects to this, which if I'm going to give it a title, I think it is crisis time.
I think it is a crisis decade. And I think it gets a lot easier after this, but I'll talk about that. But it's also the decade when we grow up. But before we kick off, I just want to say hello to someone who's been...
You're doing this every time now. This is saving... I know. He stopped using email, boys and girls. He just speaks to people. If you want to contact him, send him a podcast.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Hey, anyway, listen, this is a hello to Brittany. Brittany, I know you're out there. Gonzaga University in Washington, D.C., you sent me a fantastic email in the last 24 hours, which I am going to reply to in some depth because it's worthy. I just wanted to say hello and thank you for that email. And just to say, yeah, I think we are on a worldwide movement. And I'm happy that myself, Chris, and the Relationship Manifesto podcast and the Relationship Manifesto book are part of the movement that you describe. But anyway, thank you, Brittany. So back to the 40s. Yeah. I mean, this we had it briefly before we started this. You said, would it be easy to make a distinction between the 30s and the 40s, or even between the 40s and the 50s? And I think you can, because these decades are, in my own mind, I think for many other people's, they are segments. They are compartmentalized. I can vividly remember that period from 39 to 40. And it was as if in the period of about 18 months from ending my 30s and starting my 40s, I got married for the second time. I changed my home. I got a big new career. And I started with my first academic work, which was a master's degree. And that was all in that period from, say, the late 30s, 39 to 40. And during the course of my 40s, I also got into another relationship which produced two more children. So in my 40s, I had three kids. It's one reason why I had no money, because I'm still paying for that.
But I think we should start calling you Mr. Rabbit.
Yeah, I don't know. Mr. Something. But anyway, that decade, the 40s, I look back on it now and I can see it as an incredible decade, an incredible formative decade for me. But I also see it in other people's lives. And what I see is this complex mix of confusion and opportunity, because that's what I experience, and I think many people do. And we experience it for particular reasons, because it's both the 40s is a time when it's an existential crisis for us and an ontological crisis. And I'll explain that. By existential crisis, I mean we really do wonder what the future is going to bring. Through the 20s, we don't think about the future. We might start to think about it in the 30s, but frankly, we're too busy getting on with it to worry about it. You know, we're having the children, we're building the career, we're getting married or in relationships.
We're paying the mortgages.
We're paying the mortgage.
Yes.
In the 40s, we're still on that roll, and that energy might be there, but physically we're not as strong. We might be picking up speed mentally, but we're not picking up speed physically unless we're really making the effort to do so. And we're thinking more about the future, because we can see that now, 40s, wow, you know, 65, 60, pension, old age. You know, you're starting to look like your mother or father. And it becomes it raises some serious existential questions, which we may not all necessarily reflect on in the moment, but they linger in our mind. We can't completely dissolve them. They are going to be there and retain a presence in our mind, and they retain an influence on our decision-making processes. For example, I'm in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for 20 years. Do I want to be in a relationship for another 20 years? The 40s is a time when people get divorced. I've never gone to the gym in my life. I've got a beer belly. I'm getting varicose veins. What am I going to look like in 10 years' time? You know, you have to start getting your act together. You have to cut down on the smoking. If you're going to quit smoking, 40s is the time you've really got to be doing it. If you're going to cut out the drink, then the 40s is the time you've got to start thinking about that, because the age is catching up on you. Your own children might be getting older. You may have children at home, teenagers, so you've got to deal with all that issue. You know, the little boy or girl who was so delightful and angelic at 3, 4, 5 years old is now a nightmare at 16, 17 or 18. And you're in your 40s and in the midst of all this. You're in a relationship. The sex has got boring. Last time you had an orgasm with your husband or wife was, you know, in the 19th century. So now you're going out looking for it. So often men and women will go off and they'll play away. If they're going to play, the forces of time, they're going to feel more confident to do it. They're going to feel an impulse to do it because they realise they're getting older and the play days are diminishing. I have to say that's not necessarily true.
Sorry, the play days.
The play days. The number of times that they're going to feel they can go out and be seduced or can seduce. So, you know, playing the game of romance and sexual seduction. I have to say that I'm going to talk about the 50s and 60s in other podcasts, but, you know, the 40s is the time we start to think about this. So these are big existential questions.
Well, so far, the title of this podcast is not going to be called The Fun 40s. So, unless you come up with something new.
There is a lot
new.
Of fun attached to the 40s.
Okay.
The other issue that comes up is the ontological one. And ontology is about our own sense of grounding, our own sense of being in the world, our sense of knowing who we are, our sense of identity. And the existential issues and ontological issues are very closely entwined. But in terms of ontology, you know, you might have been a woman who's lived a traditional life. You've been in a marriage. You've been a good mother. You've been a good wife. You've done the right things. You've followed whatever moral or religious codes you felt obliged to do. Then come the 40s and you find your husband's been having an affair for 5 years. Or you suddenly find yourself wondering, why have I not had an orgasm for the last 6 years or whatever? Or I'm attracted to the milkman, or well, I don't know. But it's the internalized sense of who we are starts to get disrupted, again, because we are aging and because we're looking at this mortality. So we've got this overhanging mortality presence around us, or recognizing we're not going to live forever. So that's why, you know, psychologists have for a long time talked about this midlife crisis, being in the 40s. I have to say that when most psychologists in the past were talking about midlife crisis, they were talking, being in the 40s, they were talking about an age when people didn't live much beyond 70. In my next podcast on the 50s, I'm going to disabuse the idea that the 40s is midlife. The actual midlife is 50s now. It's between 45 and 55, actually. But bearing with that, we are in this decade, the 40s, when some serious questions are going to get asked. We're going to ask them of ourselves. We might get asked of them. We might get asked serious questions by our bosses. We may have been performing very well for a decade, but then the company gets taken over by somebody else. We have to reapply for our job. Threat of redundancy, unemployment. Also, the possibilities of a new career. You know, I've been in education for 30 years, and the number of people, particularly women, I've seen coming in and wanting to do degrees for the first time in their 40s. Or if they've got a degree in the 20s, they wanted to go back and do an MA or an MBA in the 40s. They feel that the 50s is leaving it a bit late, but the 40s is a time they can do it. They'll make sacrifices. The kids might be not as demanding. Now, like I say, the 15 and 16-year-olds out all night, so you don't see them. But, you know, many parents will think to themselves, well, I want to go out and do this postgraduate qualification because I can see there's a possibility of a career advancement by so doing. I've still got 20 years at least in career and I can make the most of it. I did my own PhD and an MA in my 40s. So think about it. From the age of 40 to the age of 46, I did an MA and a PhD. And I held down a full-time job and I had three kids. And I got married and then got divorced. Crazy, absolutely. But I had the energy to do it. And for me, the 40s was the catalyst decade. If I hadn't have done what I did in the 40s, I wouldn't be where I am today, much more than the 30s. The 20s and 30s led me up to that decade, the 40s, when it all kicked off. Crisis time? Absolutely. Stressful? Absolutely. Did I know what was coming next? Not a chance. But was I determined? Yes. And was I going to, you know, was I going to back off or not go down this particular path? No way. I was going to go for it. Because I felt at 40, I still had the youth to catch up. If it didn't work out, I had time to get it right.
Do you think that that watershed period, because it really was a watershed period, do you think that's just you? Or is that a typical 40-year-old male Western...
Well...
white guy.
There's some interesting research that's come out, and it's been done. It's been done by psychologists at the University of Oregon, and it's only just been published. And what it's looking at masculinity, and it's looking at men, particularly in their 40s. Now, what this research reveals is that men in their 40s are the most competitive. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Because it's interesting to me because this is a sociological issue. It's not a psychological or biological one. Because if we equate male competitiveness with testosterone, testosterone levels are not at the highest when you're in your 40s.
Mm.
They're declining.
Mm.
They're at your highest when you'd be at 18, 25, when you expect males to be particularly competitive. But what these psychologists are picking up and have picked up on an extensive piece of research is that those in their 40s and up to 54, they're looking to compete. Now, they speculate, and I agree with this, they're speculating that this is to do with this onset of crisis, this onset of a felt diminishment of masculinity. These men are feeling they've got to push harder because they've got more to prove.
You're talking about pushing harder in not just a relationship, in jobs.
In every aspect of the life. Yeah. This research did particular tests with the men, but the point was trying to get them to finding out how competitive they were in stress situations, how much they wanted to win.
Mm.
Now, the sense of, and this is different to women, the research they've done with women shows that the women in the 40s won't go into these competitive situations unless they can win. The men will go for the competition. And it's as if the testosterone factor is not an issue. What these guys are doing simply is trying to recreate, replicate, or not lose their sense of strong masculine energy that they had in their 20s and 30s. Why they don't want to lose it? Precisely because they know they are losing it.
So is panic beginning to settle
in?
Panic.
So panic is a word that you could actually associate with this.
Yes.
In the way that women don't, women may feel panic in other ways, and we can talk about that also, but these men will feel a panic about the fact that they have to be competitive in order to survive. They have to feel competitive in order to let the youngsters know that they're still...
Watch out, the young Turks are coming up the ranks.
You know, well, the young Turks are always there, aren't they?
Mm.
And we're all getting older, and we'll lose this competitive urge. I have to say, I've not lost it much in myself. But it isn't so much to do with the testosterone. It's to do with how one relates to life and to your environment and situations around you. And a lot of men, obviously, will go into their most stressful, demanding career roles in their 40s. That's what they're building up to, remember.
So is that stress self
generated, or is it socially generated?
Well, then we're into organisations and what organisations are demanding of the employee, particularly the middle and senior managers these days. And we know that clearly there's a massive work intensification gone on for management over the last two decades as work's got more competitive and organisations become more vulnerable. So that's put a lot of pressure on the middle and senior managers and the directors. But men will, those ambitious men who want to move into that role or find themselves in that role, it's likely to be the 40s that they're going to be in it for the first time. They won't have experienced, most men won't have experienced those sorts of high-level demanding roles much in the 30s, or some will have done. But the 40s, if they're going to do it, they're going to be in there in the 40s. It's like this. If you're going to be the director, it's going to be signalled in your 40s. If you're going to be like myself, you're going to be an academic, you're going to do your PhD, it's going to be in your 40s. You can do it in your 50s and 60s, but, you know, I think there's a different set of issues that emerge in the 50s and 60s, as you and I know. But in the 40s, there's a sense, well, I'm going to have to do it because I don't want to lose the chance to do it. And with men, there's this underpinning sense of masculine insecurity. You've got to be competitive because you don't want to lose the
edge. Self-esteem, how does that fit into this? Do you think, from what you're saying, it sounds like self-esteem is going to drop? It's going to...
You know, one of the high risks, one of the main high risk groups for suicide are men in their early 40s, particularly unemployed men, particularly unemployed single men. Unemployed, uneducated single men. They've got very little in their life, and they've consequently got low self-esteem. They may not be stressed out through executive-style workloads, but actually executive-style workloads, it's not the stress that kills people. Stress can kill, but it's not the stress that gets inside the self-esteem of a male executive. It's the fear of failure. That's what gets inside the brain. So most executives, if they are working flat out and it's going okay, then they're not going to commit suicide. The person that's going to commit suicide, the male, is the one who's on his own, emotionally dysfunctional, isolated, no social network, hasn't got the social skills or what they call the cultural capital in order to deal with this.
And the world is just passing them by.
And the world is passing them by, and they're not getting any older. In the 40s, it all kicks in. You think, gosh.
Hang on, is that a grey hair I see?
Yeah, absolutely. And the grey hair might just be the manifestation of a whole lot of other stuff that's going on around that person. He's not getting into relationships. If he's in relationships, not working out. He's unemployed and he's got no money. And you know, you don't want to be unemployed going nowhere in your 40s.
Yeah, you're saying he all the time here. You do mean he all the time.
I do mean he in this particular instance. Yeah. Now, with women, there's a different set of circumstances kicking in. Now, let's stay for the moment with straight women, women who've gone into traditional, if you like, heterosexual relationships. The women will often be, shall I say, floating through a relationship. They've been in a marriage maybe for some time. The 40s is a time when crisis time can kick in. The realization that they're not getting older and they're not in love with this guy in the way they were, and or the husband or the way they were, the kids are growing up, leaving school, they want to go out and play. Now, in my book, Men, Women, Love and Romance, I first talked about this phenomenon, and I called these women the foxes. And I called them the foxes because I see them as free and without constraints. And the kids have left home. They're able to play and they're able to go out and sample the world in a way which they weren't able to do in the 20s and 30s. The changes that have come about with them in the 40s often trigger for many women the opportunity to say, well, I've done the relationship bit, I've been a good wife, I've been a good mother, the kids are now teenagers, that's me, I'm going out, I'm having a bit of fun now. I can still put on a short skirt. I can still show my midriff. I can still go to the hairstylist and get my hair done up. I'm still sexy.
Because I can afford to do it now.
And
as well.
I can afford to do it.
Yes.
And the why I call them foxy, because they're fun, 40 and free of kids. So 40s, free of kids.
Right.
And the kids factor is an important one because suddenly these women they can let go of the eternal mother role, and they can feel a sense, well, now life's for me, it's my turn. Now, this corresponds when the man, if he's spent all his time at work and following a career, he's been following his career, his life, for him, without reflection. He's been doing it anyway. Generally speaking, it's been the woman that's been looking after the kids. But now it's maybe the guy's feeling insecure at work. Maybe the stress is getting too much. Maybe he realizes the next organizational restructuring is going to see him having to apply for his job.
And he's just suddenly realized he has to pay university fees.
He's got university fees. The idea of a divorce isn't particularly going to attract him, because that's going to cost him a packet as well. But he still retains his competitiveness. One way he might deal with it is by going out and having affairs, you know, seducing the secretary, his wife.
Can't he just join the squash club?
Whatever turns you want. If you like sweaty men, okay, fine. But if
God, you turn these things around.
but you know, the woman, you know, nowadays we've also got the internet, so a lot of dating going on. There's a lot of there's Facebook, and again, I said in previous podcasts, Facebook is increasingly used as cited in divorce cases now in the West. So a lot of couples who've been in long-term relationships that recognize they can socially network, they can meet other people. Friends reunion is another one. I mean, a friend of mine did that, and she got into a heavy relationship with someone she met Friends Reunion website. And
is that Friends Reunion or Friends United?
Friends Reunited. Yeah,
I know what you. They seem to have lost a bit of momentum, but they're still around, aren't they?
Yeah, and that was one of the that was a pre-runner.
It was, wasn't it?
Facebook, yeah, you know, All this change, new technology offers new opportunities for connection, travel as well. People are looking to travel, get out and around the world. They don't feel the obligation they've got to be with their partner 24/7. They may have grown apart, they might still be living together, or they might be single. There might be many people in the 40s are experienced being single for the first time. And then the other opposite to that is many people who've been single through the 30s then get married in the 40s. And I've seen, you know, many friends who've done that.
That was me.
That was you. So, you know, you get to the 30s, male or female, you often think, well, I did all that. I've done the single bit. I've met someone. I love them. I want to settle down, get a house, cottage in the country, two kids and a pig, you know, and off you go.
Two kids and a pig?
Yeah, I'm thinking...
And you were just complaining about sweaty men at school. Where did that come from?
I'm thinking of one particular friend of mine. who ended up in a farm in Derbyshire, high end, she got married in her 40s
and had two kids and a pig.
Well, the pigs were all there with the guy. I think it was a farmer, but she had one child. Yeah.
your term foxes, is that the same as in the States they use the term cougar, don't they, for the 40s? Is that right? Is that,
I think that's probably, yeah, cougars. I think that's
is that the same? Is that,
I think it's very similar. You know, the women who are seducers, who are able to, who know their own mind, and they've got experience. Mm. I think this really, for me, this doesn't really kick off big time until the 50s. I think it's, I know the 40s has been seen as this crisis time, and I think it's true, there's great fissures can open up in a relationship in the 40s. You know, what all the assumptions you had about your partner, the predictions you have for the future, the hopes you have for the future.
That's right. And
they're going to get challenged.
Yeah. And at that moment in time, you could have actually been married for 20 years. That's a long time to be together.
It's a long time to be together, and you think of it like that. You know, you do think.
You know, if I had another 20 years, Christ, I'll be 60.
Yeah, and then how am I going to find somebody when I'm 16? Mm. That's what people in the 40s think. Well, you know, I'm finding it difficult now going out on dates. What's going to be like in 20 years' time?
Yeah, they're already calling me an old wrinkly, so I'm going to go to the gym more often.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, many couples, by the time they get to the 40s, whether they're gay or straight, and often they think if they've been together for a decade or more, and is often the case, that, or even if they've not been in a relationship at all, but just been working hard. Say you come out of university, you go straight into a career job, you know, you 20 years down the line, you're into your mid 40s, and you think, why did I bother? What's all that about? you would start to look back and reflect more critically, because the momentum's just not going to keep going.
I do like what you said, though, earlier. You said that in your 40s, you've still got time to make mistakes, though.
You've still got time.
I thought about that myself. You know, financially, if you make a financially bad investment at the age of 40, you still have time to recover. Whereas if you make it later,
and that's absolutely right. And I think many people in the 40s recognize that, but they also recognize that the gate's closing.
Mm.
It's closing in front of you, and you've got to get past it.
Yeah, I like that picture. Like
once that gate's closed, you ain't going back.
Yes.
And the opportunities are they're just going to finish. So you know, you can see this ahead, and you can see this gate coming together, and you're running for that. Now, how you're going to make it, what that gate means for you, it might mean a new relationship, it might mean a new career, it might mean, for me, going out and doing a PhD or writing books.
Or it might mean buying that 800cc Honda motorbike.
That's what you did. Just to wrap this up, because I know we're coming to the end. Yeah, a phallic symbol if ever
there was one. I knew you couldn't resist that.
It
was red.
It's a big red throbbing thing outside. Okay, what's on the downside? Well, in our minds, what's down? What's going down? Body image, self-image, negative. Sex drive, often going down, particularly if we haven't looked after our bodies. Energy levels, going down. And optimism, possibly going down, though not with everybody. What's on the up? Okay, I think what's on the up is the possibility of extramarital relationships, divorce, postgraduate study, careers, and the other thing I haven't mentioned here, which I think is on the up, starts to kick in the 40s, and that's spiritual awareness. I think a lot of people who feel there is an existential crisis around them, an ontological crisis about who am I, where am I going, that's when the spiritual will become more important, more profound. We can draw on whatever spiritual messages or codes, belief systems we choose, we're more likely to draw on them in our 40s because we're no longer so blasé about the future. And I think that's a good thing.
Stephen, only you could have put in the upside extracurricular activities and divorce. I think if you're doing that sort of, I forgot what they're called, where you do the plus and minuses, those graphs. I think many people would have put the divorce side into the minus, but you put it into the plus side.
Yeah, because I'm not a fan of, you know, lifelong marriage. I don't see the point of it, really. If we're living for a couple of decades past our 30s, you know, we're going to be dying in our 50s, okay. But if we're going to be living to 100, that's the killer.
Mm.
That is the difference now. And
that's an unknown, that's uncharted future, because not many people have been living to that age up to now.
We're into new territory, and we've got to rewrite the rule book. And this is what a lot of stuff is on now. I opened this podcast by talking about Brittany. And Brittany, I'm not going to reveal Brittany. I'm not going to talk about her at all. But all I'm going to say is that Brittany is one of these many women that I've come across in the last few years who represent what I call a new social movement. And they are indicative of this recognition that the old way of being a woman, you know, where you got married, followed a traditional relationship, lived a monogamous life and happily ever after in some nuclear family, that's not being borne out by people's lifestyles nowadays. And it doesn't have to be. But what we've got to get over, and I mean the big way, everybody's got to get over the negativity that goes with ideas around divorce, separation, multiple relationships, all this stuff. Mm. We've got to get over that. We've got to grow up. And because the thing is, some of us have already grown up, but we're in a minority. A lot of people have yet to grow up. One final thing I didn't mention, actually, and that's on men. The 40s is usually the decade, simply because it is crisis time for men, because it is wake-up call for men. 40s is usually the decade that men start to become men. They start to mature. Most men don't mature fully until they're in the 40s.
You mean intellectually?
In every way. I'm not talking about sexually, though that can be so in terms of their own sexual confidence or their sexual experience. But most men, we think of males becoming men at 21. It's more like 41, to be honest.
Would you call that wisdom?
Do you think
at the age of 40 you start to become wiser.
Well, you would hope so. You would hope that you've learned something from life, and there's a lot more you're going to learn, obviously. But the 40s is that time when you can be more confident. You don't have to go out and prove yourself, really. I know I said this, you know, the research shows that many men still feel competitive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you can be competitive as a man, but you can still be comfortable in yourself with what you are. You know you're not going to win all the time. But go out and go for it. That's fine. But, you know, don't have a nervous breakdown when you come second or third or fourth, or even not even on the list, you know. It's okay.
That might be a good place to finish, do you think, that on that advice?
Yeah, I think all these decades are leading on.
Yes.
It's not over at 40. And if you're in your 40s and you're going through some crisis about relationships or about not having love in your life or having too many people in your life or not having children or the children are a problem or health issues or career or stress, look, it's going to pass. It will pass, absolutely. This is a stage. And the next stage I'm going to talk about will be the 50s. And I think the 50s is a really rich decade.
Okay. So don't take life too seriously. Would that be a summary?
I think you've got to reflect. I think it's important to reflect on what where your life's been up to that point. Learn from it. And that in that respect, take it seriously. But don't take it seriously to the point that you think if it's not working out, if there are issues and problems, that it's all over. Mm. Don't be depressed about it. Retain your optimism. The glass is always half full.
Yeah. No, my comment was don't take life so seriously. It was not, don't be so intense.
Yeah, it's don't take it so seriously. But get the other thing, of course, is to make sure you try and get a balance. You know, it's because your life's not been in balance in your 20s and you wouldn't expect it to be. In the 30s, there's too much going on in your 30s for it ever to be in balance. You know, too many rushing, too many insecurities, but also too many opportunities. And you've got the energy to go all over the place and try it all. But the 40s, you have to start striking a balance, a physical balance and a mental one. A balance in relationships, caring for other people, but also caring for yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome.
I'm still not sure what we're going to call this episode, because certainly it's not going to be the fun 40s or the... You also mentioned... what else did you mention? The fabulous 40s. Because the alliteration would work well. And we have to think of a good title for
that. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It seems to be a watershed. It's
a watershed decade. Mm. It is a watershed decade. And that's in that respect, I do agree with the common understanding that it's a potential decade for midlife crisis. But it's a time of great opportunity. But it's having you have the courage. You're going to be tested. It's not a time to sit back. A 40 is a time to go out there and kick butt. Then 50s, you can start to hopefully build on it.
Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring this to a close then. Remember, the blog is at relationshipmanifestoposturus.com, and the book is on Amazon, and the book is almost on Apple. I'm pulling my hair out because of Apple's admin, but we'll get there. And we'll see you next week when we're going to talk about the... I still want to say fabulous 50s.
You can say fabulous 50s.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're going to have an optimistic fabulous 50s.
Yeah, fabulous 50s. Go. This is brilliant decade.
It's all going to happen.
Yeah, it's all going to happen.
It's all going to happen next Saturday.
Yeah. Fabulous 50s, swinging 60s.
Look at that. And he's got, ladies and gentlemen, he has a smile on his face. No, it's more than a smile. He's obviously reminiscing. See you again next week. Have fun.
This recording is part of a Relationship Manifesto podcast series with Chris Smith and Stephen Whitehead.